From the land of Grand Teutre City in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of June, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. The statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana will update crop progress in their areas. We'll talk about the weather forecast, not with Don Day today because he's out of the office, but rather Drew Lerner, who left us a nice message this morning about the weather forecast for the Midwest and what we can expect over the coming week at an auctioneer who's driving a tractor from coast to coast to help veterans right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org or on Twitter at Commodity Week and at David A. Dickey.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the nearby July soft red winter wheat at $5.81¾, up 0.75¢. September down a half at $5.90¾. The hard red in the 7.12½ for the July harvest month, up 4¼. July corn futures down 2¼ today, $4.38¾. September at $4.34, down 2¾. And December at $4.39½, 2½ cents lower. March corn futures at $4.50¼, 2¾ lower. July at $4.63¾, down 2½ cents. December of next year, $4.56½, a half lower. July soybeans today, $13.98¼, down 23½ cents. August at $13.48½, down 18¾. And September soybeans, $12.44, down 11¾. November contract, $12.12, down a nickel. January futures, $12.18¾, down 4¼. March contract of next year in the bean pit, $12.24¾, 3¾ lower. July bean meal at $450.70, $11.70 lower. Bean oil at $36.68, finished 18 cents lower. Live cattle futures in the nearby August contract at $145.72½, 72½ cents lower. October at $148.75, down $1.02½. August feeders, 85 cents lower, 207.85. September at 208, 57½, 92½ lower. And July lean hogs for the day at $124.92½, finished 67½ higher. The August there, down 22½. The settlement price at $128.05 for the August lean hogs. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby contract in the crude oil. July futures, $106.25 a barrel, down 65 cents. RBOB gasoline at $3.08¢. That's a penny and 4¢ higher. Ethanol futures down 2¾ at $2.14 a gallon. The spread between the two is 94¢ wide. That's 3¢ wider than it was yesterday afternoon. And natural gas trading the August at $4.72 is just about 2¢ higher. A diesel fuel in the July contract at $3.50½, up $0.06, and gold futures at $1,271.70 an ounce. Finish the day $3.30 lower. The U.S. dollar at 80.63, up 0.15 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. It should be today on our way to a high of 91 degrees, sunny skies with a southwest wind at 16 miles an hour. That'll gust to 28. Outside the studios, it is 89 at this point, and it feels like 99 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy to low of 72. South-southwest winds at 10 to 15, gusting to 24. And then on Wednesday, a 20% chance of showers after 1 in the evening or 1 in the afternoon. Partly sunny, a high of 92. The heat index tomorrow, again, as high as 100 degrees. A southwest wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. And then Wednesday evening, a 40% chance of showers, some thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy and a low of 72. Thursday evening, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny with a high of 89 degrees. On a southwest wind at 7 to 10. And Thursday night, a 50% chance of rainfall. On Friday, that same 50% chance continues. It'll be partly sunny then, a high of 86. And Saturday, showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and a high of 85 degrees. More at the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's check the agricultural futures markets and the trade for the day with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. It is hot, 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 Wayne.
Hey, it's that kind of day out there, but it's awfully good corn-growing weather, Todd.
It is good corn-growing weather, and I don't know, I haven't been out to see whether it's decided to roll against this, but there's enough rainfall. I suspect that that is not the case.
Well, even if it does, I think it's going to press things along, and that's what happened. I mean, basically, turnaround Tuesday didn't happen because the weather's just too darn good, and it's that time of year, and the crop ratings are great. So we're pushing things down. But probably one of the biggest things that is a little heavy on the market right now, there's over 301,000 contracts of July corn open, 127,000 contracts of July beans, and 107,000 contracts of July wheat that are open, and we're over halfway through the month here, and for deliveries, and then the big report coming the end of the month, that's a lot of positions for a lot of the funds to have been rolling out of, and that wide spread that we had on the July no beans really coming in this week.
So you expect that'll put more pressure on the marketplace when?
Well, I think it's going to continue over here as long as the weather stays extremely good. It seems like as we look at the basis levels that the beans are just not coming up to the par to what they were a few years ago, and we had very, very tight bean supplies. They aren't bidding up and having to. We hear the processes are covered for 4 to 6 weeks out. And with all the extra DDGs left on the market, why it doesn't put near the pressure to the grind on the beans for the bean meal.
So we have DDGs on the marketplace. Do we have plenty of corn around left to produce the ethanol, feed the livestock, all those sorts of things?
Well, the carryout looks like it should be comfortable for this year, but we are hearing that very, very, very slow movement of corn from the farmers at this point in time. They're saying at these levels, they're going to sit on their hands for a little bit. So the corn movement is, the basis is staying fairly good on old crop corn just for the idea there isn't much moving.
Well, I wonder about all of this and some geographical splits. Of course, if you look to the Northwest, they have been $1.05 under for quite some time. That because they don't have locomotives to move the crop. They haven't been willing sellers, and I can see why at that point, but they have full bins too, right?
The bids are pretty full up in that area. We do know that we're hearing that some more locomotives and trains are going to be working out of that area and whatever along the way, so it's going to help some things. But we do need to relocate some corn out of the Northwest area.
Well, yeah, how do we do that? I mean, we can't get hold of we do that with bids, I suppose, but when is the question?
when it's really needed, I guess, when our ethanol plants get down to where there isn't farmers selling here, they're going to raise their rail bids that might come out of that area and entice some trains to come out of the area, I suppose.
Can they raise the rail bids without really raising the local bids? I suppose that is possible.
Well, I think that they'll try to buy it locally first. If it doesn't buy at that price, then they'll go to the rails to look at it. So, I mean, that's just the fact. When you're over a dollar under, it's pretty easy to pay freight to get it here.
Yeah. So therein the question lies for producers in the Illinois, Indiana area. Probably are thinking about all that corn that seems to be trapped in the Northwest, can't frankly get out at this point. When does the pop come? When can they expect to be able to make a sale, and at what price level? Higher?
The question mark is, and along the way, as we look at this, the weather forecast has done nothing but remain pretty well ideal unless you're in the areas that have got tornadoes or 48 inches of rain. And, as we look, this is a larger percentage of the country in ideal growing conditions at this time for the last 10 years. So that's the hard part. I think if they start talking ridge, weather change, and something like that is when we can look for a little bit of a pop. But if we can get through pollination without the weather changing too much, there probably won't be much of a pop, Todd.
Okay, so livestock producers are wondering the opposite. Do they need to continue to hold off before they put in supplies? And do they really need to put in supplies at this point?
Well, right now I think it's a little bit of a waiting game on both sides. But there's all sorts of things for the livestock users. They can go out and they can sell some cheap puts down close to $4 or something like that to lock in you know, possibly either the money that they would collect on those or be long at $4. So that's something that they could be looking at right now.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. You can always listen to him again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. And Wayne will be up there at about, 5 minutes after the hour of 3 o'clock this afternoon. So make sure that you listen to that.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, one more note, make sure that you do listen to our broadcast. If you can't on the radio stations, you can always just dial this number, 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434, updated at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day. The Secretary of Agriculture is meeting with ag officials in Europe. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack is in Europe this week and has already met with European Union ag ministers and other ag officials about the importance of geographical indications in the transatlantic trade and investment partnership negotiations. That, according to the Hagstrom report, the EU wants the U.S. to agree to give formal recognition to geographical indications, which would restrict the uses of a name of a product to the place it originated. In the TTIP talks, but the U.S. dairy industry maintains U.S. producers have been making cheeses with generic names for generations. Parmesan is just one example of a geographical indicator. Vilsack says there will have to be some serious negotiation about this issue. Here's an update on the Ag Appropriations Bill status. The current House Majority Leader, Eric Cantor, has announced the House will take up the fiscal year 2015 Defense Appropriations Bill and bill reauthorizing the Commodity Futures Trading Commission on Wednesday, but there's still no word on when floor action will begin on the Ag Appropriations Bill. And finally today, a delegation from China's Food Safety Agency is coming to the United States to review American beef production. That, according to Meeting Place, U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Phil Tseng says USMEF hopes this is the time something positive will happen and China will remove its ban on imports of U.S. beef. Those were established in December of 2003 after the first U.S. case of BSE. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org or follow us on Twitter at Commodity Week. Now up next, USDA released yesterday afternoon the latest crop progress report. It shows the condition of the corn crop is 59% good, 17% excellent. That compares to the previous week of 60% good and 15% excellent. Soybeans are now reported to be 92% planted. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 90%. 83% of the crop is up and growing. The five-year average is 77%. The condition of the bean crop, 62% good, 12% excellent. Last week, those numbers were 54% and 10%, respectively. Now, here are the state statisticians from the Midwest with updates from their regions.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. Iowa farmers harvested over 30% of their alfalfa hay acreage during the 5.4 days suitable for fieldwork. Iowa experienced extreme temperatures this week with a high of 85 degrees at Little Sioux on Wednesday and Saturday and a low of 38 degrees at Battle Creek on Friday. The 38-degree low was the lowest recorded temperature so late in the season since June 21, 1992. Temperatures for the week averaged 4.1 degrees below normal. The far northwestern parts of Iowa experienced rain on Monday morning. Tuesday brought moderate rain to the southeast one-third of the state. Rain fell across the northwest one-half of the state on Saturday and into Sunday, with some counties experiencing torrential rains. Total rain for the week varied from nothing in central Iowa to 6.88 inches at Rock Rapids. Average precipitation for the week was 0.67 inches, less than the normal 1.19 inches. With almost the entire corn crop emerged, 83% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. 95% of the soybean acreage has emerged, 41 percentage points ahead of last year and 9 points ahead of the 5-year average. 79% of the crop was rated in good to excellent condition. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois changed from warm and wet to cool and wet last week. Temperatures averaged more than 5 degrees below normal, and while rainfall was scattered, the state average was more than a quarter inch above normal. Generally, southern parts of the state had above normal rainfall, while central and northern areas were near normal or slightly above. For some producers, the rain temporarily halted field work, including cutting and baling hay, spraying herbicides, and side dressing fertilizer. Soybean planting is nearly complete. The state is now 94% planted compared to 86% 1 year ago and 89% for the 5-year average. 89% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 75% normally. The condition of the crop declined slightly from last week and is now rated as 4% in very poor to poor condition, 24% in fair condition, and 72% in good to excellent condition. The condition of the corn crop was rated just slightly better than last week. Ratings are now 4% in very poor to poor condition, 20% in fair condition, and 76% in good to excellent condition. The wheat crop is now 98% headed compared to 99% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, a statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office. Widespread precipitation raised topsoil and subsoil moisture levels during the week. In spite of the rain events, Minnesota farmers were able to reach planting levels close to the 5-year averages. 97% of the expected corn acreage has been planted. That's 2 percentage points behind the 5-year average. Corn emergence was 94%. That's 1 point behind average. Corn condition ratings came in at 1% very poor, 3% poor, 17% fair, 62% good, and 17% excellent. Soybean planting was 93% complete. That's 2 points behind the 5-year average. 82% of the soybean crop has emerged. Soybean condition was rated 0% very poor, 3% poor, 23% fair, 65% good, and 9% excellent. Spring wheat planting was nearly complete, and barley planting progress was 96% complete. The first cutting of alfalfa hay was 41% complete. That's 7 percentage points more than the previous year. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Glenn Goodrich with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Farmers were intent on spraying their soybeans and side dressing their corn this week, but rain events at the start and middle of the week put a halt to most field activity. Average temperatures range from 64 to 71 degrees, or 6 degrees below to 1 degree above normal for the week. The lowest recorded temperature was 42 degrees, the highest, 89. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.20 to 4.34 inches, with a statewide average of 1.04 inches. Corn emergence this week was nearly concluded at 95%, versus 96% last year and 94% 5-year average. In addition to corn yellowing from flood damage, some corn is showing yellow from nitrogen deficiency in cases where side dressing has been delayed. But the corn crop overall is in fair to good condition. Soybeans planted is at 91%, in line with 92% last year and 90% 5-year average. Soybeans emerged were 85%, versus 81% last year and 78% 5-year average. Continued ponding in many fields has some farmers set on even more replanting of drowned-out soybean plots. Winter wheat heading is nearly finished at 96%, behind last year's 98% and 99% 5-year average. Wheat coloring is 46%, and by region is 74% in the south, followed by central at 35% and north at 22%. Winter wheat maturing is 13%. Winter wheat harvest has just begun in a few southern counties. Both winter wheat and pasture are benefiting from the rain and warm temperatures and are mostly in good to excellent condition. As a result, livestock are reported to also be doing very well. Relatively dry and breezy conditions over the weekend provided an opportunity for farmers to cut and dry their hay. Other activities for the week included mowing of roadsides, tending to machinery, and certifying acres with the Farm Service Agency. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 15th, 2014. This is Glenn Goodrich reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for the weekly updates of crop progress in their regions. Up next, a fun story about an auctioneer who's driving his tractor coast to coast to help veterans. You know, Ivan Stoltzfuchs is a 67-year-old veteran and an auctioneer, and he's making a cross-country trip. He began in April of this year from New Jersey to California on a 1948 John Deere tractor. Stoltzfuchs is raising money with all the proceeds going to the Wounded Warrior Project to help American veterans.
And it's more than just the monetary value of it, just meeting people and meeting veterans that are coming up and just saying, Ivan, please keep on going for us, and I just appreciate what you're doing, and it's just very humbling to me.
Stoltzfuchs has already logged some 1,670 miles at the rate of about 17 miles an hour. He has a specific amount he's trying to raise and has a website where people can make their donations.
My goal is, of course, to raise $1 million, and my goal is to reach Crescent City, California, probably in August sometime. I have done some, I'm an auctioneer, did some benefit auctions along the way, hope to do a few more yet, and just to get the word out.
Stoltzfuchs says one donation he received was from another veteran who met him on his trip.
I'm a wounded veteran from the Afghanistan war. A sniper shot me in the arm, and I'm handicapped, but I want you to have this gift. He opens it up, and it's his Purple Heart. And I looked at him, I said, Jeremy Jackson is his name. I said, Jeremy, you earned that. You can't give it. No. And he got tears in his eyes. He said, I told my wife, I want to give this to somebody that's doing something good. And I said to him, well, I will hang that in my cab, and when I come back, I want to give it back to you.
You can find out more about Stoltzfuchs' trip on his website at helpamericanheroes.com. Our story today on Ivan Stoltzfuchs comes courtesy of Tom Ritter of WNAX out of Yankton, South Dakota. One other farm broadcaster to thank today, Carrie Muling from WJBC in Bloomington, Illinois, who sent this story. Last year's Farm Progress Show, of course, went ahead without the popular field demonstrations. We know that well here in our part of the world because the crops were just late and not ready. But this year, things are right on time in Iowa, says National Events Manager Matt Youngman with Farm Progress Companies.
We were real fortunate to get everything in on time. We've had nice heat. We had some heavy rains, and so we lost a few of the low spots. But everything is on pace to have demonstrations this year. You know, we weren't able to do it last year, so we're really excited. You know, it's a lot big load off of us if we know that the crops are on pace and ready to go.
Youngman says the site continues to improve.
We're, much like we were a year ago at this time, sold out, and we made the decision to add an annex to the outside of the grounds. We're doing that again. So new for this year, we have all 4.5 miles of roads are now have 8 inches of asphalt on them, so we're really excited about that. It's going to be a wonderful facility. End of June, June 25th and 26th, we're having the Hay Expo there, so if folks want a sneak peek and they're in the forage industry, you can get a look at that. It's Hay Expo and Farm Progress Show, both in real good shape for this summer.
This year's Farm Progress Show will be held August 26th to the 28th at the permanent site in Iowa. That's in Boone, just outside of Ames. Our thanks again to Carrie Muling of WJBC in Bloomington, Illinois, for providing that interview with Matt Youngman.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Hey, you're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. We post all of our agricultural programming, other agricultural stories there as well. It's all at willag.org. Can't get enough of us or just want to follow us in a different way? How about trying Twitter at Commodity Week or at David A. Dickey? A couple of great ways to follow us right here, the WILL Ag staff. In just a couple minutes, I'll be back. We'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He is in Kansas City.
It's National Eat Your Vegetables Day. It's also National Apple Strudel Day. By the way, we like the latter over the former. On this day in agricultural history in 1239, King Edward I of England was born. His coronation feast included 278 bacon hogs, 450 pigs, 440 oxen, 430 sheep, and more than 22,000 hens. in 1862, W.H. Fancher and C.M. French patented an unusual plow-gun combination. To the metal plow with wooden handles, the pair added a gun that could shoot grape shot or balls of 1 to 3 pounds weight. The combination was proposed to give farmers, according to the patent, quote, an efficient weapon of defense at very slight expense in addition to that of a plow. In 1870, George Cormack, the creator of Wheaties cereal, was born. While mixing a batch of bran gruel, Cormack accidentally spilled some of the mix on a hot stove, where it sizzled into a crisp flake, the Wheaties prototype. Cormack tested 36 varieties of wheat before developing the perfect flake. And in 1881, Sir Arthur Hardin died, an English biochemist. He was co-recipient of the 1929 Nobel Peace Prize for Chemistry for work on the fermentation of sugar and the enzyme action involved. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Now here's Drew Lerner with today's weather forecast.
Most of the U.S. Midwest today is still looking at a favorable environment for crop development. In fact, yesterday's USDA crop ratings with most of the corn crop at 76% in the good to excellent category certainly has the crop poised to do extremely well as we move towards July. I believe that as we move into July, a ridge of high pressure is going to be more dominant in the middle of the country, not necessarily a blocking weather pattern, but it will generate some warmer and drier weather across portions of the Midwest and Plains as we move forward in time, and perhaps Canada as well. It isn't going to be an absolute feature, though. We are going to see some precipitation come and go across the parts of these areas and will stimulate a continuation of good crop development across many areas. In the near-term forecast for the Midwest, we're expecting to see an alternating pattern of rain and sunshine occurring across the region. Temperatures expected to be a little bit warmer biased over the next 5 days or so. The warmer weather will likely be welcome and help to stimulate faster drying rates between rain events and also to stimulate some faster crop development. In general, though, the crops will do very well. There will be a small portion of Missouri and parts of southwestern Illinois into Kentucky and parts of the U.S. Delta that may not see quite as much rain as other areas and may see a net drying biased environment evolve. That won't necessarily be a bad thing. There should be favorable amounts of moisture in most areas, and with the forecast in the second week being what it is, there will likely be a short-term bout of cooling late in the weekend and into early next week that will force a cool front further to the south across the lower parts of the Midwest, filling in these areas with rain after missing out on precipitation for a while in this first 5 to 6 days of the outlook. The specific temperature outlook across the Midwest are expected to generate afternoon highs running mostly in the 80s and a few lower 90s in the southern two-thirds of the region. As we go forward through the next 4 or 5 days, the northernmost parts of the Midwest will see some 70 and lower 80-degree readings. As we move into the late week and early part of next week, we'll see a cooling trend take place, and the temperatures will settle back down into the 70s across northern portions of the Midwest and probably some lower 80s in the southern areas. The low temperatures at night are certainly going to be non-threatening for a while. We'll see a lot of 50 and 60 degree readings, but some lower 70s will occur as well in some of the southern parts of the region. And there's still some potential for additional locally heavy rainfall with some of the storms coming up over the next week or so, but I don't see any generalized region of excessive rainfall. With that said, I want to make a quick note about the heavy rains last night in southeastern South Dakota and northwestern Iowa. Some of those areas saw anywhere from 1 to 3 inches, generally with some localized amounts getting up to 5 and 6 inches, according to Doppler radar. Some of the central and northeastern parts of Iowa, which had been missed by previous rain, certainly was benefiting from the moisture last night, and additional rain will fall in that region as we move forward through the week, preventing any kind of festering dryness in any part of the Midwest over this next 10-day period.
Our thanks to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Remember, you can always find us online at willag.org and on Twitter at Commodity Week or at David A. Dickey. Have a great afternoon.